This week, we've been hearing responses to the president's State of the Union speech from a variety of people in and around Mobile, Alabama. We've been probing not only what people thought of the speech, but also getting a sense of what people on Alabama's Gulf Coast view as the most important challenges for the nation, for their community, and for themselves. In the last of three reports, NPR's John Itzde visits the campus of Bishop State Community College in Mobile.
Bishop State began its life in the 1920s as a black teachers' college. In recent decades, it's been integrated and merged with technical schools in the city. The student body is largely African American. Some students have been out in the workforce and then come back to school hoping to improve their prospects. Many are single parents. If they can find the time, students here can participate in a full range of extracurricular activities, including Dr. Helen Campbell's choir. The choir is preparing for an April performance of Porgy and Bess with the Alabama State Symphony. Some students from the choir took time off from singing and studying to sit down with us in their rehearsal room and offer their views of the State of the Union. Most of them watched President Bush Tuesday night, and some were quite impressed, including Ulyss Law, a 20-year-old criminal justice major.
For myself, with the issue of war, he kind of like opened my eyes towards it during the State of the Union. He talked about how sometimes you have to fight for peace. You can't really like let folks push you around. So that kind of opened my eyes up. Before I was like, war is not a good thing, but by him, his choice of words basically, like persuaded me to, kind of listen to what he was saying.
But Lawrence King, a 20-year-old freshman, and Sophia Law, 21, who's studying to be a physical therapist assistant, found the president less persuasive when he talked about the economy and tax cuts.
What he said about the economy, his stimulus plan kind of is shaky. It's not really firm with me. And I think it's geared more to the upper class people where, okay, if you're going to get money back, it's going to go to the upper class. I know they say that those are the people that provide jobs for the lower class people, but what about those people that are just struggling? And what if the economy just gets in such a position where the money that he's filtered to these people doesn't get back down to the lower class or middle class people,
Mm-hmm. But she mainly goes towards the rich people. He's not thinking about us. He's thinking about the folks that can help fund him and that put the power behind him. He's not for the poor and the middle class. I don't believe it at all. I think he talked like that so that everybody be going with him. I don't believe he's with us.
Not all of these students watched the president on Tuesday night.
Last night I was up with my baby. He had 104 fever. And at the same time, I have to study microbiology and anatomy.
Natalia Martin, who's 38, immigrated from Russia 6 years ago and hopes to become a doctor. She's a single parent whose busy life leaves little time for political concerns. One issue she does feel strongly about, though, is the high cost of medical insurance. It's a hot topic for other students, too. Most can't afford insurance, so they go without.
It would be nice to have a medical insurance for people who is in full-time a student because it's so hard to take care of your children and yourself when you're trying to get education, not able to work, to give all your energy to study and not able to pay for... Yeah, Medicaid, it's good, but it's covered just your children, not yourself. What if a parent who is in school will get sick? And then it's no help from nowhere.
Across the campus, another group of Bishop State students sat down with us in a quiet room in the student center. All were eager to talk about possible war with Iraq. 30-year-old Kendrick Smith, who wants to be a teacher, was skeptical of U.S. intentions. But sociology student Juanita Scott, also in her 30s, supports the president.
This war is not really about terrorism. It's about America trying to get power. And that's all it's about. And we don't have, to me, this is my opinion. We don't need to be able to mess with them people. Because these people are not scared to die. And I don't know about none of us in this room. But unless it's my daughter, I'm not giving up my life for nobody. If you're fighting people that don't care to die, and then you care to die, who you think gonna win?
We're not the guardians of the world, but as I said before, I believe that the president and those in authority do know some things that we do not know. Now, they're telling us things over the media, but come on, You know, we're in war. They're not telling us everything. But I have confidence in our president and the leadership in this country because it's our country.
At first, I was totally against the war, but because the president has verbalized this so much, and it's all over the world, how we feel, I think it would be a terrible mistake to not go to war now, because if he decided, well, we'll just leave them alone, Hussein would take this as a victory, and he would be on a power trip and even be more dangerous.
That's Lavinia Ash. She's a 33-year-old single parent studying sign language at Bishop State. Ultimately, all the students in this group agreed with her that the U.S. would have a dangerous loss of credibility if it didn't go to war. The welfare system, a topic the president avoided in his State of the Union speech, was very much on the minds of these students. Their views on the subject are rooted in growing up poor. This is Kendrick Smith again, followed by Aaron Chestang.
We've been poor. Not poor, but we've been poor all our life. I grew up in a house that had 8 children, that lived in the house that didn't have a roof on one side. We lived in the coldest winter in Mobile history. All of us was in that one bed, sleeping together, huddled up together. We didn't have gas, we didn't have lights. So what was the help then?
Middle school, I didn't have a jacket. I went without because we made too much money to get food stamps. We made too much money to get on Section 8 or welfare, but here we are struggling, you know, barely getting by.
Their own struggles seem to make these young adults even more sensitive to the abuses of the welfare system by others and its failure to help them when they really needed help. Here's Joyce Black, a 40-year-old student who also works full-time at Walmart. Then Kenny Jackson, a 21-year-old sophomore.
I get stuck up on register at Walmart all the time. And you see all these people come in and get 3 and 4 big, gigantic buggies full of stuff, T-bone steaks, and they're out there riding a caddy.
There are people out there that have no jobs, that are getting, like, government assistance, and they're living better than those of us that are sometimes working 2 jobs and trying to go to school full-time, you know, and trying to make it honestly, you know, in life. And then you have those people that really do need assistance and they can't get it because you have people out there that are eligible, but they can't get it because there are other people that are abusing the system.
Thank you.
If these students at Bishop State Community College had given the State of the Union speech this week, it's clear it would have sounded quite different from the president's address. For them, the main challenges and priorities involve pulling themselves up from the lower rungs of the economic ladder to find a more comfortable life and their share of the American dream. John Itste, NPR News, Bishop State Community College, Mobile, Alabama.